You have your Bibles, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11. Paul says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the Lord. That I may know him. You know, when I first came here 6.5 years ago, I had known of people, but I didn't really know them. But as I came 6.5 years later, you know, I know folks and know them well. And they feel like family to me. And that's really what the Apostle Paul was trying to say, that now he knew Christ, and we all understand that he met the Lord on the Damascus Road. He bowed his knee and his will to the will of God at that point, and from that moment on, he began to live for Christ, and he knew Christ. He had met him. But he really wanted to know him so much better. To understand his words, to appreciate them as we ought, we need to back up just a little bit, a few verses, in order to put this into context. Paul had never ceased to be amazed at what Christ had done for him, and he realized all the gains that were his since he became a Christian. And he talked about it everywhere he went. And I guess a good question to ask each of us that are here this morning as we enter into the message is how much and how often do we rejoice in our relationship with Jesus Christ? Do we still feel about him the way we did when we first got saved? You know, when I first got saved, I wanted to tell everybody what the Lord had done for me. And I see a lot of folks like that. They get so excited, you know, and they testify and they tell everybody how much they love Jesus. But a few months down the road, they have a tendency to kind of back up. And sometimes you don't see them in church like they ought to be. They fall out of love with Jesus. You know, we think about that in married life. You know, there are folks that get married, they love one another, but for some reason or another, they fall out of love. And they end up having a divorce. But may the words of the Apostle Paul, the one who had given up so much for the cause of Christ, stir up our faith and ignite our passion once again. You know, it's good to see folks excited. I want to tell you, I know if you didn't go to the ball game last night, you got excited. There was a little passion when it looked like your team might get beat, you know? And if it hadn't been for a faulty kicker, you know, they would have got beat. But you know, our passion when it's sports, we get all excited. You know, I'm a St. Louis Cardinal fan. I've been all my life. I heard them when I was growing up on the radio. And I hate for them to get beat, but they get beat. You know, I get all passionate, you know, and I played a lot of ball in my life, and I like to win. And I like to root for a team that's going to win. I like in the end, you know, I wish everyone that I root for that at the end they would win. It'd make me feel a lot better. And so that's the Apostle Paul. He wanted us to have a passion for what we're doing. I'm going to tell you what, if you can't get happy about going to heaven, If you can't get happy about being saved and escape that place called hell, if that doesn't make you happy, I don't know what to do for you. You see, we as children of God need to have a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ and for his cause and his work. You see, he told us that I'm going to come back again, but he also told us to occupy till we come. And we think about his coming, but we're not doing his bidding while he's in waiting. God help us that we might be up and about the master's business. Now, Paul had written awesome things in his life in verses 5 and 6. It tells us the things that he had given up in order that he might obtain Jesus Christ. And what he did, he clearly understood that he could not have both. It was either Christ or the world. And brethren, things haven't changed. It's still Christ or the world. You cannot straddle the fence. You see, it's Christ or the world. He had written off all of his human resources, given up his home, his family, and all hopes of a settled life. And he had even given up his hopes and his thoughts and dreams about one day climbing the ladder of the Sanhedrin Council and one day being the head of it. Paul had given up his health to hardships, to floggings, to perils, to shipwreck. And he even accepted his thorn in the flesh as a good thing in order that he might obtain Jesus Christ. You see, Paul had a smile on his face because he had determined once and for all that it's going to be Christ, first and foremost, today and every day for the rest of my life. There's no doubt when you talk to the Apostle Paul about what he had lost and what he had given up, and he would tell you, I gave up nothing really, but I've gained so much. I'm sure he would say something like this, that when I looked into the face of my Savior, and you remember he saw him on the Damascus Road and he bowed to the will of God that day and gave his life to the Lord. But I'm sure he would say, every time when I think about looking into his eyes, that's all that I could ever see. When I heard that voice speaking to me, that's all that I could ever hear. Knowing one day I'm going to see him again. Knowing one day that I'm going to look into those eyes and I'm going to hear that voice. And he says, I want him to say, Paul, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said, that's what I want to see. I am persuaded that no other call to consecration can compare with Philippians 3, verse 8. Let me pull it up where I can see it. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, waste, that I may win Jesus Christ. Brother, that's a man that sold out to God. He had determined on the Damascus Road that Christ is going to have all of me that there is to have. All of me. And that's what I want. I know that's what you want. We're here today because we want Christ to have all of us that there is to have. And we know him, but we want to know him better. Paul said, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. Do you know he's alive this morning? He's alive and well. He's on the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for us. He did his work here, He went to the cross of Calvary. He died for our sins. And they placed him in a borrowed tomb. But on the third day, he was resurrected. And now, after 40 days, he ascended back to the Father. And the Bible said he's making intercession for you and me. We've got somebody up there in high places that is looking out for us. Somebody that loves us. Somebody that cares. Aren't you glad this morning that there's somebody in this world? You know, we have so much hate and so much animosity and so much violence in the world. And I don't understand, but I do know we've got somebody that loves us. I do know that he is concerned about every one of us here. And you know what? He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows what it is to walk in your shoes. He cares. He loves us. The reason why Paul could serve the Lord and the reason why he said, I want to know him better, is he knew he was alive. And he was serving God in the power of the resurrection. Brethren, he is alive this morning. And I'm here to tell you that where two or three are gathered together in his name, he has promised to be right here in our midst. Aren't you glad this morning that you have a God that is accessible, that you can walk boldly into the throne of grace? Aren't you glad this morning that you can stay there as long as you want and you can pray and you can talk to him, you can fellowship with him, you can get to know him better? Remember when you got married? You thought you knew her. You're going in the wrong direction. You thought you knew that little lady. You loved her. With all your heart, you thought. But you know, as you live together, share together, work together, handle problems together, go through difficult times together, you know what? That love deepens. I thought I loved Virginia, and I did, but I love her so much more. So much more today. I started out at the age of 14 and a half years. I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I thought I loved him. But I've walked with him now for all of these years. And I love him more today than I've ever loved him before. I don't know about you, but I'm looking into the sky. I'm looking in the eastern sky, and I'm looking for it to break open one day and the Savior come down from heaven's glory for his church. The people of God robed in white. Aren't you glad to be a child of the King this morning, that you may know him in the power of his resurrection? But praise God, we can know him in the last days, in the power of victory. I want to look into his eyes. I've never seen him, not personally. I've seen him through the eyes of faith. And I'm going to tell you, I'm looking forward to coming and bowing before him and saying, Lord, I love you with all my heart. Thank you for reaching down and saving me and my family. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to serve as a pastor. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of ministering in your name. God, help us that we'll be up and about the Master's business, that we'll help others to come to know him as we know him. Because time is running out. And we hear that so much that sometimes we think, well, all things continue as they've always continued. But I'm here to tell you, one of these days, everything's going to come to an abrupt halt. One of these days, the Lord's going to say it's enough, and that sky's going to open, and he's going to rapture up his children, take us to heaven. The dead in Christ will rise first, and we'll all go into the presence of God. Brethren, I'm here to tell you it's real, and it's going to happen. Oh, that I may know him. That I may know him better. I want to know him more and more. And I want to help others to know him more. Will you bow with me for prayer?